Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. It turns out that the way we talk about things actually matters. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, framing effects.
The words you use call to mind different kinds of associations that influence the impact that those have on you. And in politics, we call that spin. But in general, it's really important to think about the different ways that you could cast a particular discussion. So, for example, the station here, you know, it's a publicly supported radio station, and every 6 months the station raises money. And the question is, how do you talk about that money? Now, obviously you can talk about it as a donation. You could potentially talk about it as a gift, give a gift to the station. But an alternative is you could say, well, let's invest in public radio. And, you know, that matters because gifts are generally small. It's the thought that counts. And yeah, when it comes to investing in public radio, I suppose the thought counts, but the money counts too, because there's actual programming that has to get put together. There are expenses that have to be met. And so when you begin to think about it as investing in something for the present and the future, it changes the nature of what you think you're doing. And it also changes how much money you think is appropriate to give. And we use those kinds of framing effects all the time.
I mean, if we kind of put that into the language of what you're actually doing, right? I have some money and I'm choosing to give some of that money to something that I care about that requires money to operate. Okay. Now, if it's an investment, I might have a different thought about that than if I say it's a gift, and I might have a different thought about that than if I say it's a tax, or if I say it's a fee for service, right? I mean, right. Each one of those words is going to make me think differently about it. And that framing effect has to do with what language frames the thinking, frames the decision. So if the language that's used is in terms of losses, loss averse, we don't want to lose things, and they're now, put in a different way where the starting situation is negative and you're trying to escape that, you're going to be much more likely to be open to risks that you wouldn't be open in the other circumstances.
Yeah. The danger with these kinds of framing effects is the prospect that people will cling to those frames in ways that get in the way of having conversations. So politicians have certainly noticed the power of these framing effects, which is why, for example, the abortion debate gets cast in terms of being pro-life, because who would want to be anti-life, or pro-choice, because at least in the United States, who would want to be anti-choice, right? So the sides have selected ways of framing the debate that bring about associations that they are happy with, and where it's hard to argue the other side of it because there's a real negative associated with the other side. The problem is that in many political discussions, we have to find a middle ground. We actually have to find a compromise. And when each side clings to a frame for the discussion where it's now impossible to argue the other side as that discussion has been framed, what you've done is to create no middle ground where there's some possibility for actually reaching an accommodation that, while it may not be perfect for each side, allows each side to get something of what it wants.
This is a very powerful tool, whether it comes to advertising, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to anything that has to do with influencing human beings' thinking and decision-making.
And to give you a great example of this, so Bob and I have talked a lot about multitasking, and we've talked a lot about the dangers of that when you're behind the wheel. And on the basis of that, I had a chance to do a public service announcement with the folks at Drive Kind, Ride Kind. One of the things that they've done that I think is really nice is that they have put a lot of pressure on journalists to stop talking about accidents that happen when people are texting while driving and to refer to them as crashes. Because they're not accidents. They were preventable. I mean, the word accident, even though we sort of use it to mean a wreck, the word accident carries a connotation that it happened and there was nothing anyone could do about it. And by calling it a crash, you are emphasizing the violence of the collision and also removing the idea that it was not preventable, because it was if someone had not been distracted while driving. And so there are definitely cases where the associations that come with the words we use are unrecognized by us until somebody points that out.
And many of us underestimate the extent to which the way things are conveyed, the way things are framed, actually influences what we think about various ideas. I mean, we like to think that we're basing our reasoning on clear-headed thinking that's sort of separated from all the emotional kinds of things. That is impossible for a human being to do. I mean, we have to do some heavy lifting to not be influenced by all these other things. I don't know if you saw the article in the New York Times where, I think this was an English professor somewhere, analyzed the way the new Texas textbooks talk about slavery. And it has to do with active and passive voice. So she analyzed the text. We're talking about slavery. When the subject of the sentence was slaves, they were described as doing things. You know, they were working in the fields. They were using songs to, you know, create a cultural environment, whatever kinds of things, right? Whenever bad things about slavery were written about, they were always written in the passive voice, which means there's no subject doing
the acting. Mistakes were made.
Yeah, mistakes were made. Torture was used. I mean, those kinds of things. So the slave owners are never the subject of a sentence associated with a verb where something negative is happening. Now, that's a very subtle thing that, as Art was saying, would completely escape most of our notice. I mean, because we're just not on high alert to think about those kinds of things. But people whose business it is to influence other people's thinking, they're on high alert about that all the time. And unfortunately, some people get really good at it when their, you know, intentions are not necessarily honorable.
Next week, we'll talk about determining value with reference points with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and find more information on any of the topics we've discussed, go to KUT.org. Also, subscribe to us in iTunes. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.